This is Rodney from the Masculine Journey podcast, where we explored manhood within Jesus Christ. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just a few seconds. Sit back, enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening and choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
Gentlemen, the following contest is set for one fall. Introducing first, from Lithuania, he weighs 123 kilos, the Russian Nightmare, Nikita Koloff.
Welcome to another episode, Q&A with Koloff, the Devil's Nightmare. Tim Neighbors, Sweet Home, Alabama. Welcome to the Q&A show with Koloff.
Thank you, Nikita. I appreciate it. Just tickled to death to be here.
Well, and I appreciate you and Tim. For our listeners out there, why don't you tell them where Sweet Home, Alabama is and a little bit about your family as well.
Well, Nikita, my name's Tim Neighbors. Sweet Home, Alabama is actually our church in the area I grew up in. And we're just south of Huntsville, Alabama, 4 miles from Gunnersville Lake. Beautiful place to be. If you ever come this way, it'd be worth your stay to spend a couple of nights and take your time on the lake. Just have a good time. I'm married to Tammy Neighbors. We've been married 38 years, have one daughter and three beautiful grandchildren. And I tell you what, that grandchild part kind of changes your life. Love every minute of it.
Yeah, different raising, or different being with grandchildren than raising your own children. would you say?
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. You can fill them full of sugar and send them back home.
I was just getting ready to ask. What would you say if you could be like once? What's one thing different that you might? So you may not fill your child. Well, some do still fill their child with sugar, but you don't get to send them home. They're under your own roof, right? So then you have to deal with it. So, in other words, what I'm hearing, Tim, is you get to spoil your grandchildren. That's what I'm hearing.
Yes, sir. I get to do those things, but still hold them accountable. And, you lead by example, but it's still fun. And, of course, they love to spend the night with Papa and Grandma.
So Papa and Grandma, is that what they call you guys?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I know when I first had my first grandchild, my daughter was like, my daughter Terrence, she's like, "You're not old enough to be a grandpa." And I'm like, "Well, I appreciate that, but I'm old school, so I'm not going to, they do the pawpaw or the papaw or, all these different things, right? I'm like, look, just call me grandpa. Just call me grandpa, right? So that's what I am now to 10 grandchildren. 10, Tim, 10.
Oh, my goodness. You just answered one of my questions. So.
well, hold on. We'll get to that. But let's go. So you and I met. We figured out you and I met about probably 15 plus or minus years ago at a men's conference in Alabama. Now were you just attending that or hosting that or how that happen?
Just attending with our church. A group of men from our church went, and our pastor had spoken with either you or Rob Lambert, and you were going to come back to our church the next day and preach, but you needed somewhere to stay, so you ended up coming home with me and spending a night with Tammy and I. And the rest is history. We've been friends ever since.
and you've been gracious hosts. I mean, it's been, I don't even know, 8, 10, 12, or maybe even more times that I have I have stayed in your home. Now, let me ask you this, because I know, so you got an education background, but also some ministry background as well, and mixed in there, we did some nutrition things together, and of course, I had the total package, Lex Luger, with me sometime. Did Lex ever stay in your house or no?
Yes, he did. He stayed on a couple occasions when you stayed. He came down with you on several occasions and spent the night with us.
Okay, so you have had the Russian nightmare and the total package, Lexi. Both. Not many people can say that, Tim. Do you realize that? Not many people can say that.
Yes, I stayed, and I remember where we were at the time. Y'all would stay in the Lauren's room, which you had to sleep on pink sheets, because that was always a big joke. Had no problem doing that, but
because I raised four girls, so yeah.
Right outside her bedroom was the Gunnersville Lake, but we actually lived on the lake at that time.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but like for real, that just hit me. I just thought, I wonder how many people could say they had Nikita Koloff and Lex Luger staying in their home, not once, but, you know, half a dozen or more times, you know, so.
And one of those nights, I'll tell this story real quick. I know we're pressed for time, but Lex was, we were at a person's house doing one of those nutritional programs. And Lex sat down in their recliner, and, you know, Lex didn't just sit down easily. A lot of times he would just kind of fall in the chair.
Plop down, yeah, yes.
He flopped in the chair, and it kept going back, and it just flipped him.
No, it did not. He did. Oh, my. He probably thought I rigged the chair or something, just, you know, because I hit him with a belt one time, you know, so.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! He flipped over backwards, basically.
It flipped over backwards. It took three of us to get him right back.
I hope he listens to this episode. I'm just saying. I'm going to say, Luger, go listen to Tim Neighbors' Q&A. So that is too funny. I vaguely remember that happening. I vaguely remember that happening. Well, so you're in Alabama, and there are of course a few wrestling fans in Alabama. Did you grow up being a wrestling fan, or how big of a wrestling fan were you? Let me just ask that.
I'm not just a massive wrestling fan, but I watched it. And I watched you quite a bit, and watched Lex both. And I guess the way I started watching it was I would be at my pawpaw's house.
Okay.
And he'd watch it. And I'd be in the living room with him, and I'd end up watching him more than the wrestling, because he would start out sitting in the chair. By the time the match was almost over with, he's standing in the chair punching with y'all.
No, come on. Shadow boxing?
He was in that chair. He was standing up, yelling, screaming. I loved watching him as much as I did y'all.
he believed it was real, didn't he?
He did.
See, that we did our job. We did our job, you know. That was our goal. We wanted people to believe it was real, right? So... Yeah, and I heard that era, you know, the older crowds, you know, that watched it back, you know, the 70s and going back 60s, 50s and all that, you know, many of those people like were, you know, just bought in hook, line, and sinker, you know.
Oh, absolutely. And if I don't know if you remember this, but when you spoke at our orientation that year to our teachers.
Yeah.
And you, in your speech, you told them a little bit about the profession, and some of them were stunned that it wasn't real. I don't know if you remember that or not, but it was like, and you even made the comment, was, I hate to bust your bubble, but it was like, oh my goodness, you mean that wasn't real?
Yeah, we've shocked a few people. So, well, on that note, let's because this is Q&A with Koloff. You get to ask me the questions, and you know, typically. So let's segue. Let's transition. Give you the opportunity to ask me, you know, a few questions. So why don't you fire away with your first question, Tim?
Okay, first question will be an easy one. I know how you are with your routine, and you consider your body a temple, and you take care of it. But the one thing I do remember about you and Lex is you used to have your one-day fun day. my question is, do you still do that? And what is your favorite guilty pleasure on that one day fun?
Good question. So the short answer, or the first part, yes, it still have a fun day, which is usually on Sundays, typically,
right.
Because, you know, churches want to take me out. You know, I may be in their community ministering. You know, I may do a conference that Saturday in their church and then preach on Sunday, like you're referring to, mentioning. And then, so they want to take me out after service. And so that's usually the time I have some of my treats, and reward myself, on Sundays. And occasionally, you know, I'm not legalistic on this thing. I mean, if I'm staying at a hotel on a Wednesday night and they have fresh cookies, I'm not gonna tell you I'm not gonna have one. Now, I'm not gonna have 12 for the record, yeah. But I may have a hot chocolate chip cookie or something. But so the answer to that. And I really, food wise, I really like hard to find sometimes, a really good burger. Like, I'm not talking about like a little thin patty. I'm talking about one that, you know, you can barely wrap your mouth around it, and that the buns are toasted. You know, they gotta have that little glaze on the buns, that they're toasted, and just some of the trimmings and toppings, along with, you know, perhaps a handful of fries or more. Cheesecake is one of my favorites as far as desserts go, including plug for DQ, Dairy Queen Blizzards, which originated in Minnesota, by the way. A DQ Blizzard is one of my favorite shakes, if you will, or ice cream desserts, and cheesecake with maybe some of the toppings. So there you go.
You're listening to the Truth Network and truthnetwork.com.
If you would like to support Koloff for Christ Ministries, for a gift of $25, Nikita will send you his two CDs, Adoration and Declaration. For a gift of $50, Nikita will include his book, Wrestling with Success. And for a gift of $100 or more, Nikita will include a signed copy of his newly updated life story, A Tale of the Ring and Redemption. Go to www.koloff.net and donate today.
Nikita Koloff here, and I am excited. Did you hear the huge announcement? The big announcement. Well, maybe it's a minor announcement. Anyway, Facebook, go look up my new fan page, Nikita Koloff Fans, and like it and follow today.
You're listening to the Truth Network and truthnetwork.com.
If I remembered right there for a while, you and Lex, one of your favorite things to do was eat the ice cream. So I guess the Blizzard is what I was thinking about.
Well, in fact, you know, he lived with me in 2015 for about 10 right. months, and we used to go to the store on Friday nights and scout out the ice cream aisle, and he's like, what are you going to get? I'm like, oh, I don't know. There's so many good flavors. I don't know. We just had fun with it, Tim. So we are health nuts, and you know, the Bible talks about the body being a temple, and so we just feel a mandate that God has a mandate for us to take care of our bodies, but also allow ourselves treats and reward ourselves for taking care of our bodies. And right. By the way, last note, I'm not opposed to a Krispy Kreme donut either with the hot now sign on, just for the record.
I got it. All right. Question number two I have for you. And this is, I guess we all have ours, but you've always been such an encourager, especially to me, and always had such a positive attitude. What drives you crazy, or what is something that's your pet peeve that just gets under your skin?
I just had this conversation a couple days ago. My friend said, there's not much that gets under your skin, but boy, these drivers on the road.
Amen, brother.
Oh my gosh, Tim. I'm like, really? I mean, it seems like things have escalated over the last couple, three, four, 5 years. I don't know what the time, but crazier and crazier. I mean, I'm convinced, Tim. I am convinced these people are driving 90 and 100 miles an hour and weaving in and out of traffic, think they are in a video game. I am convinced of that. And until they have a 10-car pileup, then they reality hits and they realize maybe I shouldn't have been driving that fast and weaving in and out of traffic from four or five lanes from left to right and right to left. But I will say that's an easy answer. Behind the wheel of a car, if something gets under my skin, it's those out there who, in my view, are reckless and taking not only their own life at risk, but risking the lives of many others behind the wheel of a whatever it is, 3, 4, 5, 6,000-pound machine. But that's what gets under. And there have been times I've had to seek the good Lord. Lord, bless that person, Lord. I didn't want to cuss him out, so I had to bless him out, Tim.
I understand.
So there you go.
Lord, to help me in those moments, because I get frustrated at that myself.
Man, anyway, there you go. So, all right.
Yeah. Okay, I have a couple more if we have time. But
We do.
Okay.
Yep.
The next one is, we and I talked earlier and about the quest and the 6 days and my mountaintop moment or being on the mountain with God. Describe your mountaintop moment. What was it like, and can you remember where it was at?
Man, I'll answer it this way, in that, you know, I can look back at my life, as I think many or most of us probably can, and I call them defining moments, where there's certain moments in your life like, wow, that was a defining moment. And for sake of time, I could go through a half a dozen, and then give explanations to them. But like, it's just a quick example would be my freshman year in college in a football game in northern Minnesota. Our wide receiver was thrown into me, and I fractured my lower leg, my tibia and my fibula. And that was a defining moment, because I remember at 18 years old laying on that field thinking this, literally thinking this, my leg is shattered. My life is shattered. My dreams are shattered. You know, I had dreams of playing in the NFL and, you know, and just everything. But, and that was a real, that was a defining moment. Now, I'm just going to condense the story. Fast forward to 17 October 1993. After I left wrestling, which is so many other defining moments, getting into wrestling is a defining moment because it wasn't something I dreamed about as a kid, but a door of opportunity opened up. I leave wrestling 17 October 1993. I find myself at an altar surrendering my life to Jesus. Boy, that was a defining moment. And then more specifically to your question, a mountaintop encounter was in March of 2006. I boarded a bus on my birthday, actually, on March 9th, and in 2006. And I'd already been walking with the Lord at that point for 13 years. But man, God I encountered him in a whole new way when I carved out a handful of days and just centered my gaze and my focus on him without any outside world distractions. And as you yourself experienced later on a quest event, and now men come to our man camp and have experienced a very similar type of experience. So March of 2006, Tim, was my mountaintop experience that again, was another stepping stone to forever change who I am as a man.
Right. And I remember your October 17th because that's my birthday, and I thought, that's an awesome day.
Wow, that's cool. So my spiritual birthday is your physical birthday.
Absolutely.
Now, that's a pretty cool thing. Let me say, I just want to tag on one other thing real quick, too, before we get to your last question here, and that is, for the listeners out there, what made it so defining for me is for 46 years of my life, I'll testify and say this, Tim, for 46 years of my life, I was a male. And for the first time in my life at that camp in South Texas, I stepped into manhood the way God defines it. Because up to that point, my life was still kind of defined by how the world had defined manhood, but there was a teaching that we now teach at Man Camp, but there was a teaching on that particular event that opened my eyes to true manhood the way God defines it. That's what made it so defining for me. So that's there you awesome. Go. All right, we got time for one more. You said you have one more?
Yes, I'll make this as quick as possible. If you had a do-over in life where you could go back and change or do anything, what would you change?
Ooh, gosh, we don't have enough time for that one, Tim. I'll give a shorter version and say, in looking back, and again, we can probably all look back and see not only defining moments, but where we, you know, maybe that decision was a mistake, this was a mistake, that was a mistake, although we can learn from our mistakes clearly if we're open to that. I'd say for me overall, I'm just going to say relationships in general, that as I look back on a past or prior friendships and relationships that, had I known then what I know now, I might have handled some of those relationships differently. To where, you know, I may still have some of those relationships, which I no longer do. But certainly can look back and say, okay, I did learn from those mistakes, in those relationships. So, yep.
Absolutely. Well,
great question.
Appreciate those questions.
Well, and I appreciate you, Tim, and I'm looking forward here and down the road coming back to Alabama and spending some time with you, and I appreciate you being on the Q&A with Koloff today.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me, and I can't wait to get to sit down and talk with you again.
All right. Tim and Tammy Neighbors, Sweet Home, Alabama, thank you for tuning in to another episode of Q&A with Koloff. God bless you. Have a marvelous day.
This podcast is made possible by the grace of God and your faithful prayers, support, and generous gifts. May God bless you for your continual contributions. Go to koloff.net and donate today. Hi, Nikita Koloff. Be sure to check out the Man Up Show, now available on television, broadcast, and podcast. Go to MorningstarTV.com or the Truth Radio Network. Check out your local listings, or better yet, download the Truth Network app today. Nikita Koloff here. If you're needing to buy a car and have marginal credit and considering using Buy Here, Pay Here, that's worse than taking the Russian sickle. Winston-Salem Motor Cars will put you behind the wheel of a car you can rely on while helping rebuild, repair, or establish your credit score. Conveniently located on Silas Creek Parkway in Winston-Salem, be sure to check them out today at WSMC1.com because you are number one.
This is the Truth Network.